you just met the woman or man of your dreams. They're smart, attractive, they have a great job, and it looks like they have a great family too, but there's something really wrong about the way they voted, and you don't like it one bit. On Dave Kinchin Tonight. No, I guarantee you this show is not turning into a matchmaking show. No, it's not. Well, the purpose of the intro is to jog the minds and get people to think. No, we are not in any way becoming a matchmaking show. He's given up on political talk and not political talk, but balanced political reporting. And he's just doing a show based on trying to get couples together. No, please. Not at all. It does seem like that, right? Next on Dating on Dave Kinchin Tonight. No, what we're talking about today, some life observations that do deal with politics, perhaps too much of politics. What happens when younger people today are filtering who they date or don't date based on their political preferences or the political ideology of the person who they would otherwise be going out with. We're seeing more and more of this kind of a development, and it just seemed like an interesting thing to discuss and open up the floor and talk about on a show that doesn't take calls, I know. But you can tweet at me at Dave Kinchin USA or at Kinchin Tonight. It's Dave Kinchin Tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the show where we talk about his life as much as we do political news and things like that. By the way, we are continuing to watch the Brian Sims, the state representative, who confronted two groups of people praying, pro-lifers who are praying at a Planned Parenthood clinic. We have some new development on that. We'll get into that on the Sunday show, the big show where we kind of lay out some of the big stories of the week. So we will do that on Sunday. You don't want to miss that because we have learned some more about all of that. And by the way, and this is going on, and this is not something that planned to be related at all, but it seems to be. There's a sex strike taking place. Actress Alyssa Milano lit up social media with her call for a ban on having sex, a ban on women having sex until certain political changes and laws are changed in several states, specifically over the issue of abortion and Georgia's very strict abortion law that was passed. She says on Twitter, "Our reproductive rights are being erased until women have legal control over our own bodies. We just cannot risk pregnancy. Join me by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. I'm calling for a sex strike. Pass it on." And this has, at the time of this screenshot, about 9,000 retweets, 26,000 likes, and it's dominated social media. But there's been a lot of comments where some fellow activists have said that, when I say fellow activists, I mean activists who have otherwise worked on the same issues as Alyssa Milano, the actress from Charmed, and several other major performances on television and in film. She's been very active on women's issues and many democratic liberal issues, of course. We all remember her as being staunchly against the confirmation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, where he is now, of course, Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh. So that was a big thing. We all remember her from that. So she has a long history of political activism, but there's some groups or women's groups out there that are saying that such a ban actually is counterproductive. You can read the tweets. It's all there. Then there's some who, of course, support the measure and say that it's just what needs to happen after several states have passed sweeping laws that ban abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected. So Georgia had just passed this, a big thing in Georgia there really didn't get, it got a lot of discussion, but it seemed like a little bit later because there were other things going on. I feel like the latest in the Mueller case and all of that, I mean, you know, the post-Mueller report atmosphere we live in still has been kind of dominating the news. But this has definitely been out there. Don't get me wrong. It's been out there. So that's just, again, that is in no way related to the topic tonight of modern life and millennials and young people and the role that politics plays in dividing people up and who would otherwise be a good match. And like, in other words, we're talking about how corrosive our politics have become in this country to the point where, you know, people used to have different ideas and be able to date and be friends. That's not the case anymore. So that's what we're talking about. But again, that, you know, I just there's no hidden agenda to say, oh, well, let's put this this story in with that. No. We just happen to, we like to touch on the big stories that are going on, and the Alyssa Milano sex strike thing was happening and out there and dominant, really. I mean, it was trending all day on Twitter. All day on Twitter, so I thought that was worth a mention, just to say this is out there and that's what's happening. So anyway, to the main topic, you know, I've been thinking a lot about where we are as a country. And by the way, we're coming to you, as always, from the Old City downtown Philadelphia studios, where life is happening all around us. And so you'll sometimes hear, you know, people out and about living life and doing what they do. But chances are, if they're on a Bumble date or a Tinder date, it's probably not with someone they disagree with politically. Because that's not something that seems to... And where we are right now in this country, people... It seems harder to have friends who have disagreements. People shut off social media. We talked about Facebook and Twitter for different reasons, and you know, the depression that some people have and everything with social media. But what we're seeing now is people are getting off of social media because of the corrosive politics in this country. And not only that, they're watching who they go out with. And so we, in many ways, it still feels like the day after the 2016 election. And this would have happened, I'm confident, no matter who won. The bitterness and record unprecedented divide we have in this country, to the point where certain social networking apps, where you can, you know, if you move to a city, you're looking to make friends, or maybe you're looking not just to make friends, you're looking to date or something, or maybe a little bit of both. You can weed out who you would otherwise go out with based on politics, based on viewpoints. Now, I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying this is wrong. You know, it's generally speaking, many people would say, and there's a valid point, that it's good to have more filters out there because online dating can be weird. Online networking, trying to make friends, can be weird. So there's evidence out there that, based on lifestyles or life situations that people have gone through that say, you know, we should have more control over more of a screening process in terms of who we go out with. So you look at job, you look at school education, you look at, you know, some of the filters on some of these apps, employment or, you know, your religion, your, you know, what you're looking for in a relationship. Some people want something serious. Some people want a pathway to marriage. Other people, not so much. Other people, again, just looking for friends or perhaps, well, you know, other things, I think we all know. you know, don't have to say it. But what happens when that filter that says, you know, what are your politics? And it's a question that on some apps, I think you have to answer before you can filter it in other people. What happens when that becomes the powder keg? You know, you're on some of these profiles, anybody who's single and out there, you know, looking to meet people and just see who's out there and have coffee and see if you strike up a connection with someone. You know, you'll swipe and you'll see on some of these apps, you know, no Trump voters, or, you know, for some people, perhaps no Clinton voters or whatever it might be. And I always thought back to a time where, you know, they always said, what are the two things you don't talk about? You know, at the table, you don't talk about religion and you don't talk about politics. But I don't recall, at least in my generation, up until recently, and again, I'm in my mid-30s, but I don't recall a time where there was ever a major push to not date somebody or not be friends with somebody because of their political opinions. When I started out, so years ago, I was at a conference. This is probably 20 years ago when I was in high school. I went to a political conference, and there was a speaker named James Carville. And you probably have known him if you're like me and you've either been around politics for a long time, at one point you were in public policy like me, or you just, you know, you've seen him on the Sunday morning shows, maybe not so much in later years, recent years. He was he's a Democratic activist. He was a big part of President Clinton's victory in 1992. There's the movie War Room. War Room was, you know, was all about, you know, the Clinton strategy and battling the late President George H.W. Bush. Hard to believe it's still weird saying the late George H.W. Bush, but anyway, because he had just passed away, of course, a few months ago. But he's married to someone who at the time was a key operative for the Bush campaign, a key supporter of the Bush campaign, Mary Matlin, who is now a libertarian, but which basically just means a bit more conservative than, say, a Republican generally. But she has been a huge Republican operative for years. Okay, so you have two people, two, you know, dinosaurs of American politics, and I say that not because they're old. I say that because they've been around a long time. James Carville on the left, and I actually met him at the conference. I had asked him something about, you know, young people, getting young people involved in government, and I forget the question I asked him. He gave a great answer that seemed to really be balanced and fair, I thought. But this was years ago, and I can't really recall that. But I did have a chance to talk with him, you know, years ago at this conference, and I think I asked him a little bit about why there was so much cynicism in politics, you know, and how young people can get involved. You know, how should young people get involved when there's so much division out there? And boy, this was 1998, so, you know, here we are now. I mean, here, you know, I wonder what his, I don't remember his answer exactly. I think it was something like, I can't recall. But that was, I want to say that was the question. I want to say that's what it was. I'm trying to recall. I have some notes from that conference written down somewhere. It's probably saved in my email. But I'm one of those people, by the way, who has a lot of emails, and I always seem to have emails that haven't been deleted. So I'm just one of those people. Anyway, so it's probably in there somewhere. I'll have to fish that out, but don't count on it anytime soon for a follow-up topic. But although I am writing a book that has something to do with that moment, so it's, I think we wrote about, it's in there. So we have to go back through our notes. Anyhow, there was a time when, you know, I mean, they were probably one of very few couples in American political life that were married. They did not generally talk about politics at home at the table. I guess another example today would be George and Kellyanne Conway, although that seems to air, the dirty laundry there airs publicly in terms of the back and forth. You know, so that's a little bit of a different example. You know, there was a time, I remember a time where, yeah, people could have differing opinions. I would listen to radio shows, just general talk shows, and people would say, yeah, you know, my husband disagrees with me, or my wife disagrees with me, whatever, but, you know, we love each other, we care about each other, and stuff like that. Now, people can't even meet someone if they have a different idea or a different perspective. That is shut absolutely down, ultimately. And I'm wondering, you know, is that good for our society? Is that bad for our society? What does that really mean? If we can't have, I mean, it's all part and parcel of, it's all part of a greater symptom in this country of, you know, some have called it groupthink or just the echo chamber where, you know, people do not want any perspective or any taste of any perspective that disagrees with their ideological orientation or their position on a set of issues. What does that do? I mean, how harmful is that to this country or to our society if we can't have disagreements, if we can't have people play significant roles in our lives without knowing where somebody stands politically? I know people who have said, you know, that they were forced to sort of, you know, somebody would message them and they, you know, on one of the apps, and they would say, well, you know, no, I need to know, you know, their political orientation was not written down, a friend of mine, but they said, no, this person said, no, I really need to know where you stand on an issue. I really need to know. And things just broke down from there. So I fear that in a time when we need to build bridges, we have our disagreements, but I don't think it's out of turn to say we need to see where we can build some common ground. You know, it's not good in a society when there's so much extremism going on in the political discourse, and so much so that people don't even talk to their neighbors or their friends or family members over politics. There's marriages that have broken up. There's lawyers. I know for a fact there are lawyers who are dealing with divorces because of politics, because of the way the 2016 election went down. This is a real thing. Yikes. I mean, again, there's probably other issues that went on, you know, at the time in those marriages. You know, by the way, they're probably paying a lot more in taxes, you know, because of what they can claim by being divorced. That's not funny. I'm sorry. I know that's not funny. No, but if they did their taxes, they might be regretting it, depending on, regardless of the politics, just the fact that politics caused the divorce. Okay, all right, fine. I'm sorry. But it's seriously, it's a real thing. How do we build some sense of common ground? How do we take the edge off? It seems fair to say that we got to take the edge off. And that's not putting one ideology down over another. That's not saying, well, I agree with this more than that. I'm not, you know me. I mean, I'm here not to get into policies and positions, but to talk about just the, you know, general issues and observations. But it does seem to me, I mean, there's a critical question there. What happens when, I mean, where's the bottoming out? How much worse can it get? You know, I mean, we might start suffering in terms of procreation and creating more humans and more Americans in this country because, you know, well, I mean, I get along with them, but I'm not going to date them and I'm not going to marry them. I'm certainly not having kids with them. What if people are passing up that perfect husband or perfect wife or perfect best friend or perfect set of friends to go, you know, to concerts with and have brunch with or whatever, forget about relationships and starting families and, you know, marriage and all of that. I mean, how much more division can we take as a country? To me, it doesn't seem like we can take that much more. Again, I think that's a fair observation to say that, you know, any more division and it's not going to be helpful to this country, and it's going to really take a long time to try to build things back. So where do we find that common ground? How do we, you know, how do we engage other perspectives? Maybe that's part of the whole social media thing and a need for a detach. Because it's not just that, oh, okay, you see people have certain lives on social media. We talked last time about what I've heard called the social media disease, where you see so much of what other people are doing in lives that may look better than yours, you end up getting depressed and upset and thinking, oh, gee, you know, I can't really, you start feeling down on your life. Well, maybe part of the shutdown is just people who don't, you know, who are just tired of debating people on, you know, the Facebook wall becomes a chat room, you know, where people are blasting each other and getting insanely personal on both sides or all sides. You know, seems like there's 3,000 different perspectives that people have. So I think when people can't, you know, the essence of a family and procreation and creating life and you know, in other words, people deciding to have families. I'm not talking about anything related to pro-choice, pro-life. Let me be clear. I am not talking about that. I'm talking about to the point and to the extent where couples, you know, throughout human history get together, they, you know, people get married, they start a family, you know, whatever, to the point that politics impacts, like, I mean, how somebody voted impacts whether you're going to seek companionship in someone else. It just seems like we got to pump the brakes a little bit and see maybe there's another way that we can work out these differences. Not saying that people need to change their perspectives or something, but let's find a way. Let's find a way to maybe have a little bit more respect for everybody and not make everything so personal. I don't know. It just seems like, doesn't that seem fair? I mean, doesn't that seem like something that's literally going to affect the future of our country, the balance of our society, if we have all these strict dividing lines? I mean, what's going to happen? Are people going to live, you know, one side of the street's all Republicans, the other side of the street's all Democrats, you know? Oh, well, you can't, you know, I'm not going to sell you this house, but I'm only going to sell this house to a Democrat, or I'm only going to sell this house to a Republican. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy, but I never thought I'd see some of the things that are happening now in terms of how people just don't deal with each other and don't come together and don't solve issues. We got a lot of problems in this country, and it just seems like, I mean, if we're going to cut people off, you know, at the knees in terms of friendships and just say, no, you know, you're not going to be my friend, or you're not going to be this, or you're not going to be that, you know, maybe that's not the best expression. If people are going to cut people out of their lives because of their politics or because of That seems incredibly counterintuitive and incredibly dangerous to happiness, you know? But again, I'm not telling people how to live life. I'm not here to do that. I just think maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a way to find common ground. Maybe it's, you know, it's every now and then, as we look at our bitter debates in politics, I don't know, maybe we can have some kind of coming together. It just seems to be a fair question to ask, don't you think? Well, we can talk about it. And we are talking about it. And that's why we're here. And that's why you're here. And hopefully on the weekend here, on the weekend shows, you are thinking about this while you're having fun with your significant other. You know, by the way, maybe it might not be a good idea right now to ask about 2020. You don't even have to put your political affiliation down on some of these social friend meeting or dating apps. You don't even have to do that, because there's other apps out there that are designed to look up the voting records of people, you know, because it's all public information anyway. So I'm giving people ideas right now. But no, it's true. There's apps out there that allow you to, at least from what I've heard, I haven't tried this myself, type in someone's name and you can find out who they voted for and how they voted in so many cycles way back. I did hear that. I'm not sure exactly where they have that, but so, you know, I mean, listen, in terms of dating, people do a lot of detective work, and that adds to it, I guess, you know. Oh boy, I don't know. These are interesting times we live in. And again, you know, we just come here to talk about it. We come here to lay it out and say, okay, well, you know, here's what's happening. How does this work? How does that work? That's what's really fun about this show is, you know, again, this is kind of a reunion, getting the band back together for me, because when I did this show the first time back in 2007, it was the format news, sports, culture, and we did a lot of news and we did a lot of, you know, a little bit of sports, but, you know, the culture part of it, you know, we got into sometimes, but you know, we're getting into it a lot more now, and there's just so much more to talk about in terms of, especially how the world's changed since we did this show way back when in the beginning. So you know, we're kind of working through this together, this show also is nice because it helps me connect with people and who have observations of their own. Again, nothing necessarily very political to the left or to the right necessarily. I try to shoot it straight down the middle. But, you know, it's interesting to see how other people think, especially people around my age or people a little bit older, people a little bit younger. The world's changed so much. Our politics and, you know, has changed, has fallen apart so, you know, to such a severe level of decay that, you know, it's good to know that I'm not the only person out there who feels like, wow, you know, we need a little bit less division, you know, and these are people who have their own ideas, I'm sure, but we can come to at least some consensus, you know, and say, you know what, let's try to balance things out a little bit, you know. I wonder if people listen to more music by artists who have differing political views than they will actually be a part of folks who are, you know, willing to, I mean, then they're actually willing to sit down and have lunch or strike a relationship up or a friendship with someone who has a different opinion. Maybe they love a song so much by an artist that they'll forego their political opinions. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not. It does seem like there's a newer generation, like some of the younger artists, they all sort of have a different political perspective than some of the other, you know, older artists, too. Certainly there aren't that many, like, say, Ted Nugent's around. There are some, Kid Rock, who have more conservative viewpoint than, obviously, you know, artists like Katy Perry and you know, whomever else. More younger artists who have a more liberal perspective, I think. I don't know of many younger artists who have a conservative perspective on things. I can't think of many, you know. I don't know. But anyway, and that's probably a whole show for a different, that's the, for Rock of Nations with Dave Kinchin. That's what it is. Yeah, a plug for the other show. Music and you know, artists who are active politically. We'll do a fair look down the middle of famous artists who have this perspective, who have been active in this side of politics or active on that side of politics. You know, you get a Gene Simmons on one side or a Tom Morello on the other, which was really weird during the Kiss Rock and Roll induction because Gene and Tom could not be further apart ideologically. But hey, you know, even Ted Nugent says that he's he jammed with Tom Morello at one point, and they just don't think they talk too much about politics anyway. For the younger folks listening to the show, I just lost you. Who are these people again? I know Katy Perry. I don't know anybody else. Anyway, I don't know. Anybody know where Cardi B stands on issues? Who's the other really hot like performer now? Would it be Kanye? I guess Kanye. Well, we know where Kanye stands. I don't know. I'm going in a whole different direction. I've got a whole music show to talk about music, and I'm going in a whole weird direction. So anyhow, folks, hope you are having a wonderful weekend. And, you know, we keep it fair. We keep it balanced here. We talk about news and life. And again, we will be back Sunday night with a look at some of the bigger stories in the week. This is Dave Kinchin tonight. Thank you so much for being with us on your Saturday night, Sunday morning. This is this could be Dave Kinchin tonight today, because it's always tonight somewhere in the world. And, you know, this is a good show to wake up to as well, I would think. That's, yeah. Dave Kinchin this morning. A third podcast? I don't think so. I'm busy enough.